To be here this morning. May I say, saints, God has blessed you with a godly pastor and wife. And I know that you will uphold their hands in the days and weeks and months and perhaps years to come. I'm sure that they will render their best and serve you to the best of their ability. Thank God for all His love and grace and mercy to us all. And this morning, as I said, we're very happy to be here. I've been preaching the gospel since 1931, pastored 6 churches, 5 in Pennsylvania, 1 in New Jersey, Passaic, New Jersey, from 1939 to 1944, and we enjoyed blessed ministry there. And so this morning I want to bring to you the first message that I ever preached in 1931 on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, a theme that is vital, essential, important, especially in these days of apostasy and declension. May we look to the Lord in a word of prayer before I speak. Our loving Father, we come to Thee this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray for the saints of God here in Long Branch, that you will bless them, that you will send them a blessed revival, that many, many souls will be saved, filled with the Spirit, healed by the power of God, and the saints strengthened and energized to press forward until that day when we look upon Thy lovely face. Bless Thy word to our heart this morning. Thy Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance. May Thy word find its place in each one of our hearts and lives, that we may serve You not only to the best of our knowledge, but also to the best of our ability. Bless, I pray Thee again, Thy children. In Jesus' name, amen. My scripture is found in Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1st and 2nd Timothy and the book of Titus are called pastoral books because they are written to the under-shepherds, the pastors of the church. It would be well for every man entering the ministry to study both of these epistles, for they are very vital and very important to their ministry. The Apostle Paul was a man after God's own heart. He writes in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The Apostle Paul had also the desire in his heart to someday see his Master and Lord. He tells us in Philippians 1:23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." I'm so thankful this morning that you and I as Christians not only look back to a finished work and transaction, Calvary's cross, when Jesus uttered the cry, "It is finished," John 19:30. At that moment, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, Matthew 27:51. The death of our Lord Jesus on Calvary would be meaningless without the glorious resurrection of our Savior. It would be insignificant. It would only be the heroic death of a noble martyr. But with the resurrection, it is the atoning death of the blessed Son of God. Death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus are the two fundamental truths of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 11:26, 1 Corinthians 2:2-11. The death of our Savior is mentioned directly 175 times in the New Testament. The resurrection is mentioned 104 times in the New Testament. We are thankful this morning for the resurrection of our blessed Redeemer. Without that resurrection, we would be men most miserable and without hope, according to 1 Corinthians 15:29. And so this morning, friends, we look back to that finished work on Calvary and to the glorious resurrection of our Savior. But then also, we are thankful for the ascension of the Lord Jesus, mentioned 34 times in the New Testament. And then again, we thank God for the imminent and inevitable return of our blessed Master, mentioned 318 times in the 260 chapters of the New Testament. The same Jesus that died and rose again is coming back again in the not far too distant day, according to Hebrews 9:28. Oh, I'm thankful this morning for the blessed return of Jesus. We as God's people need to look forward with anticipation for the return of our blessed Redeemer. Paul the Apostle preached the second coming of Christ. If you read throughout his epistles, such as 1 Thessalonians 4, and also in Hebrews 11, we read of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter also spoke of the return of the Savior as well as the first advent of our blessed Redeemer, according to 2 Peter 3:10-13. John the Beloved also spoke of the coming of Jesus in 1 John 3:1-3 inclusive. The Lord Jesus spoke of His return, beloved, in the New Testament many, many times. It is His promise that He shall return again for the church. If you read John 14:1-3 inclusive, and also John 15, and also we read in Hebrews again of the coming of our blessed Redeemer. Oh, what a blessed hope we have, a hope that we cherish not in vain. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this in 1 Peter 1, verses 5 and 7. Oh, concerning His return. And God's people should look forward with glorious anticipation for that blessed coming of the blessed Redeemer. I look forward to that coming of Jesus. Every single morning when I wake up, I rise at 2 a.m. to seek the face of God. And my first thing I say to the Lord is this: Lord, could this be the day of Thy return? I have no guarantee that the Lord Jesus will return this very day, but neither do I have the guarantee that He will not return, for He's coming very soon, in an hour that we think not. Saints of God, we are not to look into the far distant day for His coming. For His coming is at the door, at the very door. In an hour that we least expect Him, He may return. That as Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, so shall He come without sin unto salvation, to gather together His purchased possession. And I believe, saints, that there is a longing and there is a yearning for that day of glad release, when the Spirit shall be released from these mortal bodies to take its upward flight to be with Jesus Christ forever and forever. What a day that's going to be. There'll be no more sin, no sorrow, no more heartaches, no more disappointments, no more sickness, no more pain, according to Revelation 21 and verse 4. Yes, child of God, we have in the New Testament 7,959 verses. And of this number, there are over 3,300 promises in the New Testament concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least one verse in every 25 verses of the 260 chapters of the New Testament. And so I am looking forward with great anticipation. And I want to be ready for that day when He comes. For we are living in days of declension, in days of apostasy, according to 2 Corinthians 3, 1-5, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Days of declension. The world is getting worse and worse and worse. I am not looking forward to greater and better days, but rather to His return. I need not to be pessimistic, friends. I am optimistic concerning return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking away from the things that are temporal and transitory. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. To those things that are eternal and perpetual and never ending. And the last promise of the Bible, and the last prayer of the Bible, recorded in Revelation 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly. The last prayer of the Bible, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This was the prayer of John, the beloved friends. Oh, that it might be our prayer in these last and closing days. Then, my friends, we shall meet those that have gone on before us. Your loved one, wife or husband, son or daughter, mother or father. Think of it, child of God. the glorious reunion when you meet that loved one once again. Never, never to be separated from them anymore. Yes, this hope we cherish not in vain. I suggest, child of God, that you study 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There are 58 verses committed to memory. What a wonderful chapter. What a wonderful inspiration. It will encourage you, child of God, to press forward. If there's ever a day that God's people need to be encouraged, it is these last days. Read Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 9, 18. Read Ephesians 6, chapter 10 to 12. Be strong and of good courage. My friend, this morning, if you have a loved one that's passed on, take courage. Look up to Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12 and 2. For he we have no continuing city. Hebrews 13, 14. We look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him forevermore. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Child of God, this morning, let me comfort your heart. Let me comfort your heart this morning. You might think sometimes the trials and tests of life are unbearable, and they may seem unbearable. But remember, God's grace is all sufficient. God's grace is all sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Hebrews 12, 6 and 12. I'm not quoting these verses because it would take too much time. But child of God, let me encourage you this morning to look away to your Master, your Savior, your Lord, your coming Redeemer. This may be the day that it will be said, it's enough, church. Come a little higher, a little higher. That's what Jesus said to John in Revelation 11, 4 and 1, and also to Elijah, one of the witnesses in Revelation 11 and verse 16. Come up hither. And that's what the church is going to hear in the not too far distant day. And so, in the light of all this, may we live lives that are well pleasing to Thee. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Romans 1, 4. Hebrews 12, 14 again, beloved. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification or holiness. Is there ever a time, my friends, that we need to live holy for God in spirit, soul, and body? 1 Corinthians 5:23, Romans 12:1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15. Ah, yes, my friends, let's keep separated. Let's draw the line of demarcation, and by the help of God's Holy Spirit, to press forward and onward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:13 and 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Saints, this morning, He may come before the break of another day. Are we ready to meet Him? Are we ready to meet Him? If not, by all means do so. Live a life of dedication, a life of consecration, a life that's well pleasing to Him. For the Lord Jesus is coming, not for a church that's defiled or unsullied, but rather for a church that is unsullied and undefiled. Ephesians 5:25 through 27. Oh, saints of God, I wish I could say to you in expressing words the feeling within my own heart, the nearness of the coming of our Savior. Yes, Jesus Himself told us in Luke 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. We know not the day nor the hour when He shall return, but we are not altogether in ignorance concerning His nearness. No, signs are multiplying on every side, friends. And the world is getting no better, but it's going from bad to worse, beloved. Ah, yes, child of God, it is sooner than we think, according to Romans 13 and verse 11. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we know not the day nor the hour, says the Master in Matthew 24:42-44, 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 13 inclusive, and Revelation 19 and verse 6 and 7. He says the Master in Revelation 22 and 12 and 13, Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Child of God, remember what Jesus said to the seven churches of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, 11, 17, 29. Chapter 3, verse 6, 13, 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Child of God, I have to witness right now going through my body. Through my body it's going right now. I sense that presence. He's here. He's right here in this church. You cannot see Him with your natural eye, but He's here. You cannot touch Him with your physical hand, but He's here. He's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thou art confirming Your word. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Larovri minglande Christi mahailenda lavasu. Celende Christum Messiah, the Comparianta Santo. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Ecclesia Vricopasalanta Legriastum Dei, Agape, Yustander de Mokata, Parousia, Lavrum Mancantelea, Osimbende Lecaleastin Stei, Lantala Musia, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom of Reclastibo Carissima, Custimenda, Krustimaya, Onsimbraia le Capalianta, Yeshua, Yeshua la Mataila, Lusimbrende Glistemaya Sude, Uncomprianta, Ostamanta, Selenta le Griastampaya, Shopaya Sinta, Oclanta Rabasia, Slava, Slava, Hospitu Vrenda Shalaya, Shalom, Shalom, Arianta, Incompasalenta, Shastin Day. Thou knowest not the day nor the hour when thy Savior, thy Redeemer, shall return for his church. Therefore, his blessed Holy Spirit is speaking to his church to prepare herself for that great and notable day which thou knowest not, which is hid in the counsels of God. Be thou ready and prepared, for his coming is very close at hand. He knows thy testings. He knows your trials. He bears with thee. His heart is full of love and compassion. Thou art not alone. Thou art not desolate. The Lord Jesus is with thee. He travels with thee through life's pathway. The way may seem dark, but thou art not alone. Thou art not alone. He takes hold of thy hand and he says, follow me, my child. Follow me. Follow me. Soon. Soon. Thou shalt be translated from earth to glory. Then and then thou shalt behold thy Lord, thy Savior, in all his majesty, in all his wonder, and in all his splendor. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always working. Always laboring for him, for your work is not in vain. He will reward his children for their faithfulness, and he shall say to his church, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter where it shall be eternal bliss forever and forever. Will you give me 5 more minutes? Amen. Will you give me 5 more minutes? One more thought, friends. In the light of his coming, you and I need to pray as we have never prayed before. In order to keep the touch of God upon our soul, and to do his will to the best, not only of our knowledge, but our ability. And one scripture that's been very precious to me, saints, is the one found in Mark 1:35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went into a solitary place and there prayed. That's Jesus. Can anyone tell me what time that early in the morning was? We're not told. And I said, Lord, please help me. I want to wait before you in the early hour of the morning. And it's been my practice a long time now, not just once in a while, every morning, regardless what time I go to sleep, I rise at 2 a.m. to pray for the church and the world. And I promise you, saints, from today on, I will keep this church upon my heart every morning between 2 and 3. Anyone that can join me at that hour, welcome. Will agree to pray for revival in Long Branch. That God will send you a revival, saints. And He will. He never fails. Prayer. A prayerless church is a powerless church. A praying church is a powerful church. Luke 18:1. Men ought to always to pray and not. Jesus prayed all night. Luke 6:12. The apostles prayed and asked the Lord to teach them to pray. Luke 18:1. Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 13:2-3. The apostle Peter prayed. James the apostle prayed. James 5:7. John the beloved prayed. All the apostles prayed. Friends, remember, it's wonderful to meet Jesus in the early hours of the morning. And I don't dread that hour, but I look forward to it. I could look up into the face of Jesus. The saying is, do not look into the face of anyone until you have looked into the face of your Master. In my last pastorate, Easton, Pennsylvania, I believe it was the year 1974, 75, somewhere around that time, I was kneeling at the side of my pulpit. While kneeling, I looked up. There, my right corner there, I saw a great light. And in this light, I saw a form approaching me. And that form stood before me. I had my head bowed. Then I looked up. And I looked upon his countenance. I cannot describe to you the beauty, the splendor of that countenance. Words are inadequate to express. I saw that smile on his face. I saw the long robe that he was wearing. His sleeves were wide. I saw that which was about his waist. He said nothing to me, but just laid his finger on me. Friends, I long to see that face, don't you? No more tears, no more sorrow. Revelation 21, verse 4. Ah, saints of God, keep the touch of God upon your soul. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. He knows just what you're going through. Discouraged heart, take courage. You're misunderstood. People don't understand you. Loved ones don't understand you. He cares. You're sick in body, in pain. You can feel the divine touch of His hand upon your body. As someone says, I cannot trace Him. My hand rather cannot trace Him. But I trust His heart that directs His hand. Trust Him. He loves you, saints. We love you. We're thankful to be here this morning. And again I say to you, I promise you, by the grace of God, to pray for every one of you in this church. I may not know your name, but the Lord knows your name, doesn't He? And He cares for you. Mother, God bless you, Mother. We love you. You cannot spell Mother without spelling others. Think that over. God bless you, Mother. May you always feel the touch of the hand of Jesus upon you. God bless you, good Pastor and Ruth this morning. We love them. We love them. I know you do too. Stand by them, friends, won't you? Lift up your hands before God for them. Every servant of God today is going through hard places. And so, God bless you and give you many souls. Father, we thank you for this good people. We love them, Lord. Help us to pray for them each morning. Help us to remember this church. Give them many, many souls for their hire. Bless the pastor, Frank Clark, and Ruth this morning. We lift up their hands before God. And we pray God's anointing upon them. God's blessing. Many, many souls to find Jesus. In your name we ask it. Amen.